Well, this is the first Sunday of a new year, 1979. We hope everybody's out and going, got a good start, running 6.5 days approximately of the year is past, and we hope that everyone is entering the year with good courage, with a bright outlook. Now you'll find my text this morning in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 11th verse. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Now this is a rather unusual text, I think. It states things kind of in reverse, it seems to me. At least it's in reverse of the way we usually think of things. We think differently from this, do we not? He said that the race isn't to the swift, but we ordinarily think that the swiftest man will win the race. He says the battle isn't to the strong, but we usually think that the strongest person will win in a battle or a wrestling match or prize fight or whatever it is. He says the bread isn't to the wise, and we usually think that the wise man will outstrip everybody else and get the bread, get the benefits. Says riches are not to men of understanding. The whole thing here is all in direct opposition to the way we think and the way we see things working out in this world. But he sums it up by saying, time and chance happeneth to them all. Now God has given every one of us an equal measure of time. There's 24 hours in the day for you as well as there is me. We all have the same measure of time. I don't mean that all of our lives will be the same length and that we'll all pass away on the same day and all of that, but while we're living, one of us has just as much time as the other one has. We use our time in different ways to obtain different objectives. One of the most common excuses that people give in this day for not going to church is they don't have time. And many times people testify to the problems that they're having in their spiritual life and keeping spiritual. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read God's Word. And I don't have time for my Christian duties to keep up on those things. And so I have problems in my spiritual life. Now, when a person does not have time for his Christian duties and service to God, the answer is simple. It's because he is using more time than he should for other purposes. We get too much involved. Involved in many things. And the first thing you know, we're using more time than we should for other purposes rather than what God gave us the time for. The waste and misuse of our time is one of the ways, and perhaps the most common way, in which we rob God. God gave us sufficient time to attend to all of the necessary things of life and serve Him too. But if we do not have time to serve God, the answer again is simple. It is because we have been taking the time that He gave us to serve Him in and appropriating it to our own personal needs or personal wants. Now this is just a clear, straight out case of robbing God. And sooner or later, we will all be called to account for this. I remember a man that I knew in Southern California. I knew him back in Oklahoma before he came to Southern California also. I knew this man many years. His wife was one of the saints and was in our congregation down there. And he nearly always brought her to meeting. But he'd never come in. He'd go on away, and when meeting was over, he'd come back and pick up his wife and they'd go home. One morning I was out in the front when he brought his wife, and I went out and shook hands with him, and I said, "Ed, we'd like to have you come in the service too." I said, "You have to make an extra trip down here to get your wife when the service is over." And I said, "We'd like to have you come in the service and spend the time, and you wouldn't have an extra trip to make." He said, "Ostis, I don't have time. I have to work for a living." So he'd go on his way and he'd work on Sunday. But you know what? It wasn't but a short while after that I talked to him that morning, till a heart attack hit him in the night and took him out of this world before morning. Sooner or later, men will be called to account for robbing God with the wrong use of their time. Now we entered a new year at midnight last Sunday night. 6.5 days of that year approximately are gone now. A year is a distinct segment of time and of our lives. We measure things by years. Every year has 365 1/4 days in it. And each one of them is a distinct package within itself. When God made man and put him in this world, He gave him a system of calculating time. We're creatures of time. Time is an important commodity with us. It is of essence in everything that we do. Time enters into it. So he gave man a system of calculating time. First, there were minutes. Minutes became hours, grew into hours. Hours grew into days. Days to weeks, weeks to fortnights, fortnights to months, months to years, years to decades, decades to centuries, and centuries to ages. Until today, time has become a mighty stream that's carrying the millions of Earth on down to eternity, just as fast as the wheels of time can turn. We have a song that says, time onward flows like a river vast, while age on age it has borne to the sea. And down this stream we have come at last, to see time end in eternity. What is this life but a fleeting day? Soon death will come with a stern decree. And one by one we must pass away. And change from time to eternity. We have time now, and it's an important and a precious commodity. Let us see that we use it well and to the best advantage. Now, approximately from this time, there are 358 3/4 days of this year left. Stretching out ahead of us. But let us not be foolish and try to live all those days tomorrow. Let us break up this time into 358 distinct periods and live them one at a time. Some of us folks remind me of what M.J. Forbes said, probably a good percentage of you folks never had the privilege to know M.J. Forbes, but he was a man to know. But he came down to our place one morning when we had moved a building in there for a parsonage on the campground, and M.J. Forbes was remodeling and redoing the building. He came down one Monday morning, and I never did forget this. It just kind of struck me. He said, "Hostess, here it is Monday morning. Tomorrow's Tuesday and the next day Wednesday and nothing done yet." That's just the way some folks are living their lives. Just stretching it out there and trying to live it all today or tomorrow. There's an old Greek philosopher who said, "Perform thy worst tomorrow, for I have lived today." God help us to learn to live day by day and get this time down here where we can do something with it and make the best use of it. We're thinking about what we could do out yonder. Let's do what we can do now. Jesus warned and admonished us about getting our days mixed up. and losing the proper priorities. The sixth chapter of Matthew in verse 34, he said, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. God help you and me to learn that. We'll live our lives a lot better if we'll just learn that. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus taught us to pray in the sixth chapter of Matthew in verse 11, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. When you and I learn to live today, we'll make better use of our time. Give us this day. Jesus taught us to pray that. And I pray that many times. Lord, give me faith for today to trust you for every problem and everything that arises in my life today. Give me courage for today to meet today's problems. Give me grace for today to rise above and triumph and overcome in all the temptations and trials and tests of life I'll meet today. That kind of gets it down where we can handle it. Somebody said one time, I was talking to someone, talking that was relating how difficult it was to break a habit. He said, well, you could get along without it today, couldn't you? Oh, I think I could for a day. Well, if you could get along without it for a day, couldn't you get along without it for 2 days? Well, maybe I could. If you could get along without it for 2 days, couldn't you get along without it 3? We project our thinking too far out sometimes, and it involves us in problems and in troubles. We need to learn to get this time down here where we're living and where we can make the proper use of it and see that we do make the proper use of it. Let us strive to make the very best use of our time and of the opportunities at hand. We look over the opportunities at hand, thinking of some big something we want to do way out yonder somewhere, if we ever get able to do that. And while we're thinking of that, we're just passing up numbers of things here which would be a blessing to our lives and others if we'd take care of these things. My father used to say to me, son, live every day just like it's the last day you had to live. Now you may kind of get tired of hearing me say that because I've said that several times before here. And maybe I may have thought my father was kind of overdoing it a little bit in those younger days back there. But as time has passed, age has advanced, and each passing year brings me closer to the end of my life, that admonition of my father comes into focus with greater force and in a very distinct way. Son, live every day just like it was the last day. I wonder if you're satisfied with the way you're living today. I wonder if you feel happy over the way you lived last year. I wonder if you will feel satisfied to live this year just like you lived last year. And today just like you lived yesterday. How would we be living? What would we be doing different to what we are if we knew that we were living our last day? Well, we're going to live our last day, and we don't know when it's going to be. Now, I value that admonition of my father more and more, and it's in my mind much. What he said to me. My father will have been gone 30 years, the 30th of this month. I've been without him all that time, but that admonition that he gave me is very distinct in my mind yet. I still have that. And that lives with me every day. Comes into focus in a more distinct way every passing year. My father told me as he was getting down in the declining years of his life, he said, "Son, the nearer I get to the end of my way, the more closely I examine everything in my life. I look back over everything that I can think of that's happened. I examine everything and just how I handled it. And just how it come out." He said, "Just a while back I was thinking of something. Said I wasn't too satisfied, or I didn't know if the other party were too satisfied about the understanding we came to, so he says, I sat down and wrote him a letter to endeavor to get a better understanding on that." I think that's a good pattern of life. I think that's a good way for you and me to live. And every day is bringing us down closer to the end of our lives. It's very important that we get settled down to dealing with the time at hand and not trying to relive yesterday or not trying to live tomorrow in advance. As we move forward, let it be forward. Let us realize that it's the worrying over the forebodings of tomorrow and the lamenting over the mistakes of yesterday that mars the presence for us and limits our capacity and ability to deal with the problems and situations of now. One person said that the worst trials he ever had were the ones that never came to pass. Just worrying about something, anticipating something out there. One man said they claim that it doesn't help any to worry, but says, "I know it does because the things I worry about seldom happen." But it's the worrying about tomorrow and the lamenting about yesterday that mars us for now and limits our abilities to cope with the problems of the present. Now, let us face each day in the full confidence in God's promise that as your days, so also shall your strength be. And let us face the future, the days ahead of us in this year, 358 3/4 days approximately from right now. Let us face those days in the full confidence and assurance that the future, we can't do anything about it. We can't read the future 1 hour ahead. We know nothing out there. But let us face it in the confidence that it's in God's hands, and when we get there, God will be there, and He'll have everything under control. That's the way children of God should live their lives. That's the way we should face our future. Let us enter the year. We've already entered it, but this is the first Sunday of the year. Let us enter the year with optimism, with hope, with strong faith and courage. Let us be joyful and jubilant. Let us be exuberant and excited, stirred, inspired, in the anticipation of the possibilities each of the days which lie ahead will bring to us. The psalmist said, Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. There's going to be benefits that you can get, and many of them every day if you don't pass them up. But many of us pass up our times and our opportunity. Psalms 118 verse 24 said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Today, this day, now. He never made tomorrow yet, but He made today. This is the day the Lord's made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And let us live our lives that way, taking advantage of all the opportunities that time affords us. My text says, time and chance happeneth to them all. But we have a case in the 5th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12. It says, for the time that they ought to be teachers, they have need that one teach them again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. Here are some people that were not making the best use of their time and chance. They'd been saved long enough and had chances and opportunities afforded them that they ought to be able to teach others a way of salvation by now. But they're down here in the very elementary stages and have need that someone teach them again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. Failing to make the best use of their time. Now, we have a song in our book. It says, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed. Out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And musing in silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. And strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear. I lingered and silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in His glory appeared. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost, for eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. I saw then the Judge in His splendor as He stepped to His great judgment seat. Thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who has laid many millions to slumber in death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb He has made. Let us work while it's day, brother, sister, for soon shall the Master return to gather to garner the wheat that we gather and the chaff in His fury to burn. Then in haste let us rush to the rescue, but few can we save at the most. Soon, soon, how soon? Real soon, too soon. Millions will be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. We've come down the stream of time to see it end in eternity, almost. It's right out the door. Time moves rapidly. And one song says, time moves on with solemn footsteps as it nears the final shore. Fast the Son of Earth is sinking. Soon, soon, how soon? Real soon, our world will be no more. The sixth trumpet now is sounding to prepare the holy bride. Many on the golden altar, purified, made white and tried. Lo, the angel now is standing on the sea and on the land. How his voice the air is rending as to God he lifts his hand. What an awful, awful picture. Help us, Lord, this truth to see. When the seventh trumpet soundeth, then shall time no longer be. We have a common saying, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. But some folks have it all turned around, and their saying is, or their action is, don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow. That's the way lots of folks are living. They anticipate improving their lives. They anticipate being saved. If I were to ask you right now to hold up your hand, everybody that intends to be lost and go to hell, there wouldn't be a hand go up in here. Folks intend to be saved, but they're not doing today what they can put off till tomorrow. But I think it's more solid the way I said it the first time, don't put off till tomorrow what should be done today. The 27th chapter of Proverbs, in the first verse, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, For we know not what a day will bring forth. Can you tell what tomorrow will be? Would you venture to guess what would come into your life tomorrow? Do you know what this afternoon will be? We can't read the future 1 hour ahead. God's Word taught us in the fourth chapter of James in verse 13, He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Things that should be done now, this is the time to do them. Jesus said, 4th chapter of John, verse 35, He says, say not, yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. But I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white to harvest. There's work to be done now. There's things to be done today. You and I need to learn to live our lives today. Another common saying, and it's solid too, procrastination is the thief of time. That's self-evident. But it is more than that. It is a thief of souls, too. It is a thief of your service to God and man. I'm reminded now of time when Brother Harmon and I had met up and we were talking one day, and some one of the saints had just passed away the night before. And I had the word, but he hadn't had it yet. And I said, did you hear about Brother so-and-so? And he said, no. I said, he passed away last night. Brother Harmon drew a kind of a short breath, and he said, oh. He said, I've just been thinking for days about getting over to visit that brother. And he said, I just didn't get to it. But it's too late then. Whatever comfort that he could have administered to that brother, it is too late then. How often have we met up with situations and people, and we were stymied, we didn't know what to do, we didn't know what to say. But after the occasion had passed, we'd think back and say, oh, why didn't I say this to him? Why didn't I say that? I could have said so-and-so. Maybe that would have helped him. But I didn't think of it at the time. And I didn't take the occasion that was at hand. The Bible speaks of you and me being ready and prepared to every good word and work. God help us to be alert and be ready and prepared to seize those opportunities while they're there. When they're past, it'll never be just like that again. And whatever we might try to do won't be as effective as it would have been right at that moment. Procrastination is the thief of the fruit and the glorious outcome of our service to God and to man. Job said, Job 17:11, he said, my days are past, my purposes are broken off. I had purposes. I had good purposes. but they're broken off now because my days are past. And down in verse 15 of that 17th chapter of Job, he says, "And as for my hope, who shall see it? Where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? It shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust." We had hopes. We had anticipations. We had desires. But they've never been fulfilled. And when we lie down on the day of our death, they'll lie right down with us. Things that are past. Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Again, he said, "My days are past like a swift post." The postman. He doesn't tarry. He's on a mission. He's got a job to do. He doesn't tarry. Time doesn't either. Time waits for no man. C.S. Lewis said that every one of us are rushing into the future at the rate of 60 minutes per hour. And that's just the way we're going. Somebody said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." We can spend our lives and our time pursuing personal and selfish interests and courses in life, but that isn't going to last. It's just what's done for Christ that's going to last. I remember when I was a boy at home, my folks had a clock sitting on a shelf up in the kitchen. And across the face of that clock was written, "Time is money." Now, there's something about it when money's involved. We're pretty particular, aren't we? And a lot of the lawsuits involve money. And sometimes we think this is pretty important, money's involved. Time is money. But time is more, too. Time is chance and opportunity. Time and chance. With that time, with those minutes, with those hours, with those days, chances, opportunities are all just coming along by us. Let us be awake and alert, ready and prepared to grasp the chances and opportunities that this time carries to us, brings to us, and make the very best use of them. When they're past, on those occasions, when those times are past, it'll never be just like that again. And you might go back and try to say the things that you thought you should have said on that occasion, and you forgot to say, or you weren't prepared to say, or to do, but it won't have the effect that it would have had right at that moment. God gives you and me chances and opportunities at the moment to be effective for him. Let it pass, and it will lose its effectiveness. I'm going to ask Clifford and company now to come up here and sing those golden hours will never wait. You must seize them as they come, or forever be too late. Oh, do not wait for something great. Do whatever you find to do, and do it now. The congregation stands.